if somebody could have said to me, what's a good song before your lesson? And I would have said, I don't know, but he picked the perfect song. What an amazing song. Ring it out. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight a little bit, if you'll allow me to discuss the increasing opportunities to share the gospel of Christ. You know, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul said, let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That's Galatians 6:9. And I want you to think about that as we go through our lesson, the importance of sharing the gospel, giving that word of God out to other people, sharing it with those who are lost, those who cannot be overemphasized as being important to God. Jesus, He wants every one of us, does He not? He wants every one of us to hear the good news, that awesome message that came down from heaven in the form of a man and walked among us on this earth, and He shared what we call the gospel. The Word of God, the power of God that we're not ashamed of. The thing that saved us. But, and I want you to think about this, what is the most effective way? What's the most practical way? And what's the way that can cut all corners to reach people today for the sake of Christ? You know, the Institute for American Church Growth did a study, and they asked over 10,000 people this question. What was the reason, what's the reason why young people come to Christ? And you know what their replies was? 3% of them said, I had a special need. 3% said, I just walked in. I liked the minister. What can I say? I visited there. 5%, I liked the Bible classes. 0.5%, I attended a gospel meeting. They didn't attend last week's meeting and get only 0.5%. I liked the programs, 3%. 79%, a friend or relative invited me. Let that sink in. A friend or a relative invited me. I mean, if that's 79%, then we have to ask this question, what do we learn from this study? What do we learn from the study? You know, if churches are to grow, it will be through the efforts of the individual members. If our congregation here is to grow, if the body of Christ around the whole world is going to grow, it's going to be because of individual members. Members like you and me. The ones who are committed to the body of Christ. The ones who have obeyed the Lord and have continued in faith. Preachers, programs, classes, you know, they're going to help. And in most cases, all they do is maintain the size of the congregation. Such congregational efforts, they're worthwhile, of course. We wouldn't want to set those things aside. They're important to teach and to have programs that can help individuals. And that, ways in which we can reach people even amongst ourselves. But the greatest potential, the thing that's going to reach out there, the thing that's going to grab people, lies with the people who have some contact with members of a local church. You know, each of us has daily contact with people, whether we realize it or not. We run into people in the stores. We run into people at home. We have friends, family, relatives. And each of us, through those daily contacts, meets people that have a need for Jesus. They need His blood. They need that salvation. They need the comfort. They need to learn of Him so that they can be relieved of their labors. They need Jesus, just like I did, just like you do, or did, and do. We do. We need Jesus. There is no other way to have that great comfort and hope. And we think about that in addition to that. You know, there's an immense of other opportunities that the congregation can get involved in. You know, people used to get involved in radio and television. I had a talk with Brother Sean this last week, and he's sort of in agreement with me that that's just the wrong way to go anymore. It's just too expensive and too limiting. But we need to utilize some form of contacting people, whether it be through the mail. According to the study, the best way to reach people for Christ is the individual. The individual member. So I'd like to think about a two-pronged approach with you to evangelism. These two things are really simple. Concern for the lost by members. Each one of us needs to have a desire to reach the lost. You know, when you walk through the streets, what you see with your eyes makes all the difference in the world in whether or not you're going to be a successful evangelist for Christ. And I'm not talking about a profession. I'm talking about an act of love, an act of compassion, having mercy on people. Because when you walk down the street and you see people, you should see lost souls. And those lost souls should have an effect on your heart and cause you to be moved to talk to them about the most important thing in the world. You know, in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36 through 38, Jesus had compassion on the people. Why? Because they were weary and they were scattered. They were like sheep scattered all abroad. And He told His disciples, the harvest is what? You all know, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And He told His disciples, therefore, pray. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send out laborers into His harvest. In Romans chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, he says, I tell the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience also bears me a witness. He says, I have great sorrow. Great sorrow. Why? Because the sheep, they don't have any shepherd. He has a great sorrow and a great grief. He could wish himself accursed from God because His fellow brethren, the Jews, His countrymen, are still living according to the flesh, and they're not accepting the shepherd, the Messiah. And so he would look out into the crowd of people that he was talking to, and he didn't just see a bunch of friends. He didn't see a bunch of Jewish brethren. He saw lost people. And like Jesus, he had compassion on them. It grieved him. And so that's important. The other thing is to have the knowledge of how. You know, we can increase opportunities and they can compound on themselves over and over and over just to share the gospel. Sharing the Word of God with those who we frequently come in contact with. Carry a Bible tract with you as you walk through day to day. And you meet somebody and they seem to be friendly towards you and they ask your name and you ask their name and you could give them a Bible tract. It's that simple. Invite them to a worship service. It's that simple. But I'm assuming that you're all here and that we are here and we're concerned about lost souls. And so for the rest of this lesson, what I'd like to do is I would like to talk about how anybody at all, whether you're somebody who can jump in the face of a stranger and talk about Jesus, or whether you're somebody that is shy about talking about Jesus, anybody that's a member of the body of Christ can increase opportunities to share the gospel. So we want to look at increased opportunities. First of all, let's talk about doing things which make for a sharing congregation. We want to do things that make it this congregation, and it makes it a sharing and a caring congregation. Our love. The love that we have for one another, the love that we have for the lost. You know, our love will help prove that we are who we claim. Think about it. Our love will prove that we are who we claim. That's what Jesus said. By this, all will know. And when he said all, that word plethora in Greek, all, that means everybody. People who like you will know. People who don't like you will know. Your friends will know. Your enemies will know. All will know that you are my disciples. If, he said, you have love for one another. And so that's such an important part of this program to go out and help the lost. We are truly the disciples of Christ. We have the correct doctrine that came from God. We have the organization and the congregation and the local church that came from God. We have the worship patterned by our God. And that's important. But it will be our love, our compassion, and our mercy and our forgiveness for one another that will convince the world that we're His disciples. And so that's one of the things that we always, always, always want to look at. Our love makes us useful to the Lord. You think about that. Think of the church in Revelation chapter 3 in verses 7 through 8. In the church of Philadelphia. And what Jesus said there. Jesus said that He's the one who had the keys of David. He's the one who opens and shuts. He opens and shuts, and when He shuts, no one else can open. That's what Jesus is. But Jesus said to them, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. When you are faithful to Christ, Jesus is opening doors for us all the time. And the sad part is that sometimes we walk right by those open doors. You walk right by. And so we need to start being aware of the open doors. We need to be that congregation who has kept His word and have not denied the name of Jesus to people. You know, just it's a sobering thought to think about what that means to deny. That means that you just don't speak it. Not only that you say, no, there is no Christ, but if you don't speak it. Remember what He said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32? If anyone confesses me before the Father, him also I will confess. Or before men, him also I will confess before my Father. But Jesus goes on to say, if you don't confess me. So denying Him isn't saying He's not the Christ. Denying Him isn't saying that there's no real Jesus or that he's just a man. And just denying Him is just refusing to talk about Him with people. And that's something we need to change. What we're reading about here in Revelation, what we're reading about is the faithful church. The Lord knows the true condition of His churches. We're a congregation that can be used by Him. He'll use us to reach others for the gospel, to assimilate people and families into the family of God. We're a people who can nurture others in spiritual growth, helping them to understand the Word of God. And when we do that, what we're hearing from Revelation is He'll open doors. As long as you're doing the work, He's going to open doors. If you're not doing the work, like these other congregations or churches in Asia, then the doors are shut and the focus is on what you're doing wrong and how you need to get it right. But suppose that you're not in a place where new Christians can grow spiritually. The door will shut if it's not an atmosphere of love. Let's talk about action. That's what we need. We need steps of action. And here's just some examples of what we can do here. In concerning this idea of actions, church directory. We actually just made one ourselves. We have a photo directory. You know what's good about that is that you can get in that directory. You can look at names and of the members and make sure that you have the right name with the right face. And you can pray for members one at a time. You go through every page and every day you pray for members. Pray for them to have strength. Pray for them to grow in the admonition of the Lord. Pray for them to have good health. Pray for them to come to every assembly and to be together with us as we sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord. That church directory is a valuable tool. And we need to utilize that every day. And if you don't know everybody in the directory, if you haven't really noticed certain people, then you when you come across their picture, put a mark there on Sunday, Wednesday, go meet them. Because that's going to create an atmosphere of love. Another thing that is an action is hospitality. Don't be afraid to invite somebody into your home, even members of the congregation, whether they're members or not members, strangers, friends. Set a goal. Set a goal to have somebody go to lunch with somebody. Go and have them come to your home. Do something together with somebody in the congregation at least once a week. Somebody different, not the same person every time. And you'll see how the family of God grows strong. Visit other Christians on a regular basis. The sick, the shut-ins, new members, absent members. Those are some things that we can do. Another thing is to make a list. And I like this. I do this myself. Make a list. Not a to-do list. Not a shopping list. Those shopping lists, I detest shopping lists. That just means I got to go to the grocery store. But a list of names and of people whom you know need Christ. Make that list as big as you can. Family, friends, relatives, just happenstance associates, the guy that put air in your tire at the loop stop. Make a list with names of people, co-workers, neighbors, regular visitors in the congregation, just casual acquaintances. Listen, make a list. And there's no limit to the list. But you actually want to keep that list in sizable shape so that you can focus on this group of people. In other words, what I'm not saying is don't just start writing names on a piece of paper and get 50 pages. Oh, look, Dave, I got 50 pages of names. That's no good. Because you're going to need to pray for every one of them. That's the part of what the list is for. But you make a small list and have that. And you give priority to the unchurched on that list. It's a very powerful tool. And then, of course, hang that list someplace where you'll see it every day. And I'm afraid of putting more stuff on the refrigerator because it might fall over this way, but put that list. Take something off of there that's not that important. And have that list where you see it every single day. Make that a part of an everyday prayer. You pray before you eat breakfast. Pray before you eat lunch. You look at that list. Pray when you open the refrigerator to get a snack. Make a list. And when you think about that, you have active members, people who are part of a denomination or some other religion, and they're very satisfied with their human-made institutions, and maybe they're not so receptive to you talking to them. But God opens doors. I believe that. So you put that list where you can see it. Husbands and wives, have one list so you can work together and join together forces. We're talking about increasing opportunities. Do things which make for a caring congregation. We need to do things that make for a caring congregation. You know, we keep that list where we can see it, so that it will be a constant reminder for us, and so that we will be able to do things that are mentioned for the people on that list. And now we need to pray. That's what we need to do. We pray for the souls that are on that list. And when you think about that, where can you pray? What are the designated areas for praying, right? You know, nowadays they have designated smoking areas, designated places to eat. Where's the designated place for prayer? There ain't one. You can, wherever you pray, that God's going to be there. And so you pray for the people on your list. You pray to be given opportunities to do good for those people. That's what you want to do. That God will open the door. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul said, meanwhile, praying also for us that God will what? Open a door to us. And so you pray that God will open a door. We pray, finally, that the Word, that the Word of the Lord can run swiftly from our mouths, run swiftly into the ears of other people. So we want to pray. We want to pray for wisdom. Think about that. We pray that the utterance, as Paul said, may be given unto me, that I might know what to say, that when I open my mouth, that I can speak boldly. And you need to pray for that, especially if you're more timid in the process of talking to new people. Just pray to God. God will give you strength. If you want that, He will make that happen. So you just pray. And remember, this is so important. You remember that it's God who gives the increase. We have to take that to heart. Because I know how hard it is to talk to somebody just to have them walk away or be disgusted or not want to hear it or just be argumentative. But you plant the seeds and you just leave the rest of it up to God. You plant seeds, you can water, but if once you planted that seed, it's between that person and God. God is the one who brings forth the increase. We are but servants of the Lord. We have to trust in His providential workings. And so we can do that. And we work, and we pray, and we make lists, and we seek new opportunities, and we pray for open doors, but it all depends on Him. We don't want to take that burden and say, it's all about me. We have to pray as we know that it all depends on God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verses 5 through 7, the Apostle Paul, you know, he talks about watering and working and warning. That's our job. That's our job. We water. He says, I planted, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who gave the increase. So let's remember that. It makes it a lot easier when we just let God do the real hard work, and all we got to do is plant seeds. And then we want to do things that make demonstrate your lives for them, your love for them. We want to do things which demonstrate your love for them, is what that was supposed to say. And the importance of this suggestion is people don't care how much you know. Think about that. Nobody cares how much you know. Until they know how much you care. Think that through. They need to know that you're out there and that you're speaking against evil, but you're also seeking to lift them up. As Peter said, by your good works, which they observe, they glorify God. They see your good works. We talked about that this morning. Our friend, Brother Gary, was with us this morning visiting, and when we were over at the house for lunch, he was telling me exactly what the frontlets are and exactly what the binding on the wrist is, and because he's Jewish. And he knew it all. He wrote the names down for me, so next time I preach, I can tell you. But people see the things that we do. And so we need that. Invite those on your list to attend services. Demonstrate love towards those visitors who do attend. You think about that. We're preparing souls. We invite souls to come so that they'll have opportunity to hear the gospel. They'll have opportunity to meet other Christians. They'll have opportunity to see how loving and caring we are, and how our demonstration of love is an individual thing. But they won't see that if we don't invite them. And so make sure that we demonstrate love towards the visitors who do attend. And it doesn't matter who invited people when they do come. We want to greet them. We want to let them know how much we love them and how welcome they are. We want to invite those people into our homes. You know, that's something that can really be a powerful, an amazing thing to a visitor when they walk through the doors and some stranger walks up to them with a big smile and a big handshake and they say, how about coming over for lunch today? Can we meet tonight for dinner? Invite them. Just for a piece of pie. Invite them. And if you have opportunity, call. You call them. You invite them over and make calls and visits after they attend. You know, that's something that can go a long way. Well, Hebrews chapter 13, a verse that I'm sure we're all familiar with. We want to be careful that we don't forget to entertain strangers. Why? For in doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels, messengers of God. And I'm not talking about any miraculous thing, but you just don't know. All we do know is that we love them, we love their souls, the Lord loves them, the Lord loves their souls, we're workers for the Lord. Invite them. You'd be amazed how powerful that can be, to be Romans 12 and 13, to be given to hospitality. Increasing opportunities to share and doing such things, what you're doing is you're preparing the hearts of people for the Word of God. You have to ask them, well, Dave, why do you want us to do these things? What will they accomplish? That, you know, that's just extra time and extra effort on our part, and we do want to know that we're going to see some kind of benefit from it. Remember that it's the individual. 79% the individual that makes the difference. So in doing such things, what you're doing is you're preparing hearts of people to receive God's word by being hospitable, by praying for them, by caring. Can you imagine what would happen if you had your list hanging on the refrigerator door and you invited one of those people to your house for a snack and they're sitting down in the kitchen, you're having your snack and that person, you know, they get up and they will go to your refrigerator to get a glass of milk or a glass of pop and they see their name on that list. You know, maybe they go, why have they got my name on that list? And maybe they ask you and you say, because that's my daily prayer list. And if this person's not a Christian, they're going to be floored by that. I guarantee it. They see that name on that list and they ask you, why do you got my name on your refrigerator? Because I pray for you every day. Bang! It's like a rock right in the head. And I should say in the heart. It's powerful. It's powerful. It doesn't matter, again, who invites them. Show them the love of Christ. Demonstrate the life in Christ that's in you. See that they have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And ideally, when we think about this, this will come after witnessing, in a sense that we share Jesus with them. And we demonstrate the gospel in our own lives. By your love, by your hospitality, by your mercy, by your forgiveness, by your caring, people will see Jesus. Both as individuals and as a congregation, they'll see Jesus. And we need that to be a part of us. If you feel confident in teaching, set up a Bible study. Suggest it yourself. Come on into my home. Use aids that are available in the supply room there. Videotapes, CDs. There's some great CDs in there. Bible lessons, charts. Or just sit down and open the Bible. If you want to, if you feel confident with that, just sit down and open the Bible. It'll make a big difference. And if you don't feel that capable yet, you approach somebody and you're concerning maybe a study or conducting a study, and you bring that attention to members who are involved in Bible studies, who are willing and able and experienced, because you're providing that opportunity for that teacher. And that prospect becomes a part of that person's life then. And when you do that, the teacher, they can take it from there. They can run with it, as we say. It's just basic, simple ideas that I hope will help you. Things that you can do, every one of us can do throughout the weeks and days ahead. Just make a couple of suggestions to you. With a firm conviction, each one of us, if we would just carry out any one of these ideas, these opportunities to share the gospel with others, with souls, the church could greatly be increased. With hope that you will accept the challenge to do these things, to implement these, to come to me and give me ideas on how we can reach the lost. But this approach of being the individual, that one and one with Christ, is the most successful. When you think about the early church, Peter and the rest of the apostles, we're talking 12 people, stood up before the multitudes and they preached Jesus and 3,000 souls were saved. Fine. But then there were persecutions came and it tells us they were scattered all throughout the region. What did they do when they were scattered out? They didn't say, oh, well, we're not a big group anymore, so we can't preach the gospel. one-on-one, they went out and they preached the gospel everywhere that they went. And the church grew. It is the most successful way to reach souls. And it's also the most natural way. Just to be able to talk to friends, family, relatives, and co-workers. It's very natural. It doesn't have to be unnatural. Remember that survey on growth. It's the individual. One doesn't have to be able to be the great scholar and the great teacher and have every question for every answer. You just need to be a friend. Just be a friend for the sake of Jesus and because you care about that soul. And listen, when you do this, you could spend the rest of your life doing this and personally never convert one soul. But don't grow weary in doing good because you're planting seeds and you don't know what happens to that soul until the day you go to heaven. I remember a song years ago. It was "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." Because the person says, "I was a soul that was lost and you told me about Jesus." It's just an idea of what could be. We need to fulfill our obligation to Christ, share others. And when we do it, the congregation will grow. It will become better. Christians, a better congregation, better friends, better neighbors, better co-workers. The most important thing, really, when it comes down to it, is, are you a Christian? This night, today, are you a Christian? If you are a member of the body of Christ, then these are things that you can implement right away. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, if you have not believed in the gospel, if you've not repented of your sins and confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you have not yet been baptized into Christ, then that's something you need to do tonight to become a part of the body of Christ, the church. And God will reward you eternally. And you can do the work and you can help other people. And if you're a Christian and you've fallen short in any way, we know that we can come to the Lord and when we can repent of our sins and He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And that's our invitation tonight. If you have any need whatsoever, I invite you now to come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.